I want to speak God's word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to know the word in our hearts so that when God opens the door, we can say that God has appointed a day in which he has fixed judgment, that all should repent, right? We need to know the word of God. We need to be able to repeat it.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, give us an idea how we should listen to today's broadcast in order to get the most from it.
Well, Dave, as we're going to see, this passage is extremely important to understand and then to respond to rightly. So we need to prayerfully listen to what God is saying in this passage. It is crucial that we have a right understanding and that we respond rightly. Okay, well, let's turn there right now to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're beginning in verse 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We're to set Christ apart as Lord of our hearts. And so we need to be ready. We're to pray for open doors for the word, Colossians chapter 4. Now, when that happens, when God opens the door, I think there's some applications here. We better do what he says. We better not shrink back. But again, this is not a call for every one of us to go out every minute and be Ezekiels everywhere we go. This is about Ezekiel, who is to proclaim the word of God, and is, I believe, directly applies to those proclaiming. But I think it does, in a secondary or tertiary fashion, apply to us when the Lord opens the door for us to declare his word. So with that in mind, if you have a teaching gift, if you're a pastor, are you willing to minister where the Lord wants to take you? Are you willing to go there? Are you just doing your own thing? You're making it up in your head. You see, God has placed each and every one of us where he wants us to be, and that includes non-believers. He has placed us in the time of our habitation and our place. Turn to Acts chapter 17. As the Apostle Paul is taking the foolish ignorance and lack of knowledge of these Greeks and pointing it to the truth of the true God, he explains some things that are pretty interesting. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And this really does answer the question that most people use as a diversion, by the way. It's always a diversion. What about the guys in New Guinea that have never had a Bible, you know, or never? What? That's always a diversionary question, by the way. Say, forget that. What about you? What are you going to do if you die in your sins? Okay? But this explains the answer to that. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made one from every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now you say, wait a second, there are none who seek after God. That's true. But when God convicts, he opens himself up to those who are convicted, who turn to him. People see what he has made, and they can suppress that truth in unrighteousness, or they can say, oh God, reveal yourself to me. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to know who you are, whatever it might be. And so he made the boundaries. He's chosen what year you live and where you live that you might be saved. And that's for everyone, he says here. And he says here, for in him we move and exist, as even some of your poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature is like silver, gold, or stone, or an image formed by the art or thought of man. Therefore, having, he gets the point, by the way, the bad guys always love to use this verse to stay in the little arguments that have nothing to do with repentance. They never get to the next part. They never walk through to what the point Paul was making in the very same argument. He says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. He's not shrinking back, by the way. Everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So then, are you willing to minister where you are? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? You know, if you're walking with him, he's going to lead you. If you're walking with him, he's going to direct you. He's going to direct your path as his word is working in your heart. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So God decides who we minister to. And then secondly here, for those who will share the word of God and for those of us in the circumstances we might be brought before in which God opens doors to share the word, it is God who warns with his word through his servants. It is not we going out to warn people. It is the Lord when he chooses to warn someone, and he warns through his word by his servants. Really clear. Verse 16, now it came about in the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Good job, Ezekiel, not saying anything until you got the word, right? Saying, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. That's really clear. 7 days, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, son of man, again pointing to his human frailty. God is on the throne, but we are frail human beings. We need to trust in him completely. Son of man, I have appointed you. He didn't say, Ezekiel, would you like to be appointed? He said, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Well, no, I want to go to the nations. No, he says, I appointed you as a watchman to the house of Israel. You know, we tend to think of missionary stuff and everything. We have these little patterns that are made. We need to obey the Lord and go where he calls us to go and to whom he calls us to go. We need to be careful we don't do things just because other people are doing things a certain way. We need to obey the word of God and trust and walk with him. Ezekiel is going to the house of Israel. He says, I've appointed you a watchman. Well, what's a watchman? Well, as we're going to see, and I need to warn you again, he is appointing Ezekiel, not all of us. We can take this passage and apply it to all of us. We'd be wrong. He's not applying you and you and you as watchmen. He's applying Ezekiel as a watchman here, and he's telling him who he's going to. Now, there are applications, as I've mentioned, that we see based on other passages of Scripture that do apply to us. But be careful you don't take this passage out of its context and wrongly apply it to yourself in its entirety when that's not the way it should be. He says, I've appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. And that leads to the question here, what is a watchman? Well, in ancient times, and they would have understood, Ezekiel would have understood exactly what he's saying. In ancient times, the watchman would be stationed on the city walls, on hills or towers, and he would warn the citizens of a city of approaching danger. The watchman's position was extremely important because the entire city's safety rested on the diligence of this watchman to carry out his responsibility. Very serious task. The watchmen were not supposed to slumber at their post. They were to remain vigilant and watchful so that they could warn the people of coming danger. And the watchman was personally responsible. Personally responsible. They were to warn. Now, if you turn to Ezekiel 33, you can turn there. It's where Ezekiel is recommissioned as the watchman, by the way, after the fall of Jerusalem. He's recommissioned. But in the beginning of this commission, I'm not going to read the whole thing. In the beginning, the Lord shares of a regular watchman first. And we have a picture of what that looks like. Because Israel did have watchmen, and the Lord appointed them in that context, physically in a sense, ultimately. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman. Notice this, right? And he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people. The idea is warning, right? Danger, danger, warning, warning, warning. You've got to take action, right? Then he hears the sound of the trumpet. He who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. Hey, if you don't heed the warning, it's on you. It's on you, right? He who heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. He would have lived from the invaders or whatever it was if he would have taken the warning. The watchman blew up to the horn, warning, warning, they're coming. Okay? But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, again, this idea of being warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Pretty serious job. We don't have many consequences these days for people that have serious jobs, right? But here, this is a serious job. So then, the responsibility of a physical watchman for the nation of Israel was a great responsibility in which they were held accountable for anybody who was lost because they did not blow the horn, right? But if they blew it and the people didn't listen, it's on them, right? Pretty simple. So, back in our passage, chapter 3, what is he to do? What is the watchman to do? Verse 17, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me." That's pretty straightforward. Simply put, Ezekiel is to speak God's word when he hears it from him, and he is to warn those he is called to warn from God. It is God warning through Ezekiel. It is God warning through Ezekiel, not Ezekiel. It is God warning through Ezekiel. Warn them from me. So then, Ezekiel's appointed a watchman from the house of Israel, from the Lord, and he has an extremely important responsibility, eternally life and death. It's a very important position he has been brought into. And on a side note, this is where we fall short in our own evangelism at times. Often we attempt to share the gospel. We don't speak God's word. We just paraphrase it a little here and a little there. The reality is, we're to speak God's word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to know the word in our hearts so that when God opens the door, we could say that God has appointed a day in which he has fixed judgment, that all should repent, right? We need to know the word of God. We need to be able to repeat it. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we need to be able to share the word of God. So often we want to just package it in a way that people might like it. If God is opening the door and he is calling you to share it, then share his word. And there's going to be a warning involved. There is the bad news before the good news. There is judgment for those who die in their sins. If a man will not repent, right? You need to repent. Very clearly, the Lord makes it clear in his word. He's declaring to all men everywhere they should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man. There's a judgment coming. You need to repent. You need to have your sins forgiven. And that comes through Jesus Christ. So then, there's no room for Ezekiel's opinion, and there's no room for our opinion. We represent the living God. We need to speak his word. And those who speak as the very oracles of God. 1 Peter 4. Remember, this really applies to Paul and his companions, but it applies secondarily to us. We're ambassadors for Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you think about the idea of an ambassador for a nation or a king, they don't say what they want to say. They are given the word to share that represents the king. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." And that word is, "He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him," right? That's the word of reconciliation. He's committed it to us. He's committed it to us. He is beckoning them to be reconciled. You're not reconciled to God. You need forgiveness to be reconciled. Our evangelism would be changed if we shared God's word. So then, Ezekiel is to warn those, and God decides who he's going to warn. And the same thing for us. We are lights in a dark world. We are salt of his righteousness. We are those who need to be ready to give an account for the hope we have. God is the one who opens doors for what? For your opinion, doors for the word. We need to pray for that. And when he does, we need to be faithful. Otherwise, guess what? It's on you. It's on you, as we're going to say. If God is calling you to warn someone and you don't do it, it's very serious. Okay. So now notice, we need to realize that it is a life and death responsibility that shepherds bear. And individually, when God calls you to share it, it's a life and death responsibility. Verse 17, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. And his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. So, did you notice there were two warnings? There were warning to the wicked, and the warning to the outwardly righteous who stray. Okay? That's basically who Ezekiel's going to come to. That's basically the people who are in their sins, they're claiming to be God's people, the wicked, and those who are righteous who stray. Notice, first of all, there is a warning to the wicked, and within this warning to the wicked, there are two particular possibilities for Ezekiel. One that he warns and one that he doesn't, right? And then within that, either they listen or they don't. So what if Ezekiel doesn't warn the wicked? What does God say here? What if he doesn't warn them? Verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. This is God saying it. God is saying to the wicked through his word that Ezekiel's to bring forth, you shall surely die. And you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, die in his sin, but his blood I will acquire from your hand. Now this phrase, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, would probably perk up maybe a Jew's ears. It's the exact same phrase from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, you can turn there, Genesis 2 verse 16. It literally is dying you shall die, dying you shall die. Death will happen absolutely. There's no way around it in this context. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. Dying you shall die. And then we have Satan, who always comes along and tries to lessen God's word or negate it. And in Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat of any tree from the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you surely shall not die. He basically said, dying you shall die, not. That's what he said. He quoted God's word. He said, no. He denied that, okay? But the reality is, the wages of sin is death. There is certainly physical death because of sin, but if you die in your sins, there is the second death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you die in your sins, you will experience the second death, separation and punishment in the lake of fire forever and ever. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. And God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's desire is for them to repent. Ezekiel chapter 18. You can go there, 18 verse 4. Because this dying is not simply physical dying. It's talking about souls. Talking about spiritual realities. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins will die. Sin brings death. Look at Ezekiel 18, 29. But of the house of Israel, says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Each according to his conduct, declares the Lord. Repent and turn away from your transgressions, so that your iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make for yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. For why would you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore repent and live. Some of you are dead. You're dead to God because of sin. And Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the full price. And if you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven, and you will have eternal life. God over and over again warns in Scripture of the wages of sin. It's death, and there's judgment. And so the watchman, as God's servant, is to warn those God has placed in his presence concerning their sin, their iniquities, that has brought death and will bring judgment. Back in our passage, chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, dying you shall die, it's an absolute, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. The warning is given from the word of God. God says you shall die in your sin. God says the wages of sin is death. God says he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man having furnished proof by raising from the dead. Therefore, he's declared to all men everywhere to repent. God says that. God is a God of life and not of death. Therefore, repent and live. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but precious in his sight are the death of his godly ones. They go into his presence, and death has been defeated once for all. So what do they do if they don't repent? End of verse 18, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. That's a horrible thing. To die in your sins is a horrible thing. We see from the New Testament, we see from Scripture, once appointed man to die and then the judgment. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And there is the being cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night to pay the penalty for your sin forever and ever. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Warning, don't go there. Warning, turn to the Lord Jesus now. Turn to him, trust in him, and you'll live. So now if Ezekiel doesn't warn, notice what the scripture says, but his blood I'll require at your hand. You are responsible, Ezekiel. If you don't warn him and he dies his iniquity, you have his blood on your hands. You are responsible. This is extremely serious stuff to preach the word of God. You better preach it. You better preach it in season, out of season. You better preach it completely. You better reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And boy, you should be in a church that's doing that. Think about your pastors and all these churches. They walk up to the thing and they got blood all over their hands every Sunday because they don't preach the word faithfully. They shrink back when it comes to really speaking of sin and repentance. I hear it all the time, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, but they don't tell you what is the news that comes before that, that you need to repent. And the good news is that Jesus died for your sins. Your sins. You're a sinner. They got a lot of blood in their hands.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we close today's broadcast, take a moment and clarify your final statement for us.
Well, Dave, as I mentioned from the passage, it's clear that there are some teachers and preachers that have spiritual blood in their hands. They've shrunk back from declaring everything that is profitable. They didn't preach the word in season and out of season. They didn't reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. These men, again, have spiritual blood in their hands. But I also mentioned those going to their churches by virtue of their approval of these men have blood on their hands too. And so I'd encourage you, if you're one of these in a bad church, to confess your sin, to confess that you have placed yourself under ungodly men, and get out of there. God will forgive you, and then get into a good church so that no one would be stumbled and brought into a bad church by you being in a bad church. Okay, well, we're not done yet with this powerful passage, so make plans to join us Monday for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.